tanto felice perché ritorno da te. La mia canzone ti dice che è il più bel giorno per me. Mamma, sono tanto felice vivere lontano perché mamma, solo per te la mia canzone vola. Mamma, sarai con me, tu non sarai più sola. Quanto ti voglio bene, queste parole d'amore che ti sospiri il mio cuore. Forse non sugherò più, mamma, ma la canzone mia più bella sei tu. Sei...
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the Don of Dissenting Discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating America lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Great, Vito. Good to be here as always. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm doing well. And, you know, opened the show with that opera singing, Mama. And actually, that was Paul Sorvino, now the late Paul Sorvino, an Italian-American actor who passed away today at the age of 83. Aside from being an actor, and he played on Goodfellas, also Law and Order, among others, Sorvino was an opera singer, and I did not know that. And when I was reading through that, it's like I found that song, Mama, and I could not believe when I was listening to it how he enunciated just like Italian. I mean, he rolled the R's, and it was beautiful. The guy had a great voice. Sorvino was born April 13th, 1939, and he grew up in New York City. And Paul played the capo regime, Paul Cesario, in Goodfellas. So there was also a scene with him, with Paul Sorvino Ray Liotta, the late Ray Liotta. I thought it was kind of ironic. I was going to play that, but then I heard the Mama song, and it's like, wow, I think it was beautiful. So rest in peace, Paul. He was a good actor, man. He had that jolliness about him, and even when he was playing a tough guy.
I think his daughter. Who knew that he was an opera singer?
Amazing. Yeah,
what a voice!
A great voice. I mean, wow. could not believe it. I was like, it was actually, it was stunning. I mean, here, I think this is him right here. Yeah. Just how he just starts out and he...
Mamma, son tanto felice perché ritorno da te.
See the way he rolled the R's. It was like, wow, just like a guinea. Ah, it's beautiful. It really was. Well, yesterday, or over the weekend, I should say, the last 4 days, the PGA was up in Viking country. They were up in Blaine, Minnesota. So they were up in the Nordic area for 3.5. Oops. Oh, yeah, the Nordic country. There you go. So for 3.5 days, journeyman Scott Piercy dominated play, and he was playing great. An interesting thing about Scott Piercy was he went drastic last week. Right before the 3M tournament, he changes his caddy, he changed his coaches, he changed the driver, he changed his swing, and it paid off for 3.5 days. But poor Scott, it felt so bad for him. I left when he parred number 10, and I had to go. He had a 7-shot lead going into the 8th hole, and he was got it down to 5 after bogeying 8 and 9. But a 7-shot lead, and things just went south from there. He bogeyed a hole, he bogeyed another hole, and triple bogeyed another hole. And by that time, there was a surging Tony Finau, who was like 10 shots behind to start the day. And Finau ended up shooting 67, 5 under, while Scott Piercy shot he shot 76, which was 5 over.
Correct.
So, yeah, Piercy faltered, and Finau surged to the top. He took the lead. And Finau had like a 4-shot lead going into 18. He bogeyed 18, but that was okay because he still won by 3 shots at 17 under par. And it was a great win for Tony Finau. It was his third PGA Tour win. You know, it felt bad for Piercy. It would have been a great win for him, but I think when the dust settles, we'll probably look back at this and think that he made some changes that, and they were for the right reasons. And if he's going to remain at the top of the leaderboards, he's got to rebound again this week and next week in order to get into the FedEx Cup. And, you know, he had a tie for fourth instead of winning. And Tony Finau got his third PGA Tour victory. So congratulations to Finau, who is a real good family man, had his entire family with him. And that guy has been a heck of a story. He's learning how to win. He's learning.
Well, he was given a gift. Piercy, I didn't see the end either. I mean, he was up by so many strokes going into the last day, and he persevered. What's amazing is he had a heel blister. He had on some shoes because people never talk about the walking that these guys do for 4 days.
Yes.
They're walking the whole course. Well, he got a heel blister, and everybody here has had a blister on their foot at one time or another, and it is painful and debilitating. Now imagine you got a heel blister on your foot, and you're on the seventh hole, and you got to take off your shoe to ease the pain. Well, he powered through on Saturday and did not miss a beat. I'm like, this guy is my new hero.
Uh-huh.
And I said, if that doesn't stop him and suck the will to win out of an individual, then nothing will. And then Sunday he kept it up, and I think by the 10th or 11th hole, I'm like, well, I'll move on to something else because this is done, and good for him. And then next thing I know, I'm looking the next day, and Finau won. He imploded.
Boy, did he. That triple bogey, I think it was on 14, he triple bogeyed the hole, and that was pretty much it because he lost 5 shots. I think he parred 10, he bogeyed 11, he parred 12. Oh,
mm-hmm.
it was 13, I think. And then he triple bogeyed 13, and it was like, oh, my God. He blew the entire lead. And Finau, you know, he played great on the back nine. He was hitting his shots, and nobody could catch him. And Man, Piercy, I'd be devastated. I would be.
Oh, yeah, just a mental breakdown. But as much as that was, Finau had the ability to persevere as well and keep doing the best that he could, and he ended up winning.
Yeah.
He played some great golf at the end with a lot of luck when Piercy fell. A lot of life in that. So life
there
is like that. Sometimes it'll kick you down, but then you just have to get back up and fight your way to the top again. And it's happened to Finau too. He's had a couple of breakdowns on his way up. It's a whole mental thing.
That's correct.
I was rooting for Piercy. I really wanted him to win because it's been a while for him.
Yeah, so was I. I was really having a seven-shot lead. I got concerned when he went back-to-back bogeys on 8 and 9. It's like, ooh, this is not looking good. And then he parred 10. It's like, well, maybe he settled down, but obviously he didn't. And that's something he'll have to work on. And hopefully the changes he made are for the better, and he can take something out of this. And he should be proud of what he did for 3.5 days.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, maybe he settled down too much. We've been in pressure situations, and sometimes when you're in the lead, it's harder to keep the lead because you don't want to make a mistake. And in the fear of making a mistake, what happens? You make a mistake. It's inevitable.
Yeah. That's the truth. That is the truth. You play the prevent defense, and it prevents you from winning. I took that from the NFL.
They work in football, but in golf, not so much.
But the women's had a major, played in France, the Evian Open, and Brooke Henderson, like Scott Piercy, shot out to a 5-shot lead on Friday. Sunday was a different story. She had a 2-shot lead at one point and then 4-putted the 6th green for a double bogey. Nellie Korda came from behind to birdie number 12 to pull into a tie. And she pulls into a tie and she with Korda, and then Korda bogeyed, and then all of a sudden Brooke was tied for the lead after all this time period. But then she persevered, and Brooke hit a great shot at the 18th. She needed to birdie the 18th hole. What you said, in other words, when I left, I coolered Percy. I apologize. Yes, that's correct. So on the 18th hole, Brooke was tied with the young rookie from the United States, Sophie, got her last name, but who played absolutely fantastic. And Brooke needed to birdie 18 to win. A par ties, she bogeys, she loses. And she hit an approach shot to like 15 feet, stuffed it in there. She had a tough sideway putt, and she drains the putt to win and beat Sophie by one shot. She won her second LPGA major of her career, and it was beautiful playing. She somehow had the will to win. That 4-putt, it was funny because about two groups before or three groups before Brooke Henderson, she 4-putted. And she was a Korean player who was one of the better Korean players, and she ends up 4-putting that same green. Brooke did the same thing, but I'll tell you, she played some really good golf. She found something about a month ago, and now she's been on fire. So watch Brooke Henderson. She's out of Canada, and she's a fine young player, cute too. The seniors,
yep,
the
crowd
senior
favorite. She's a come from behind player, and she is a crowd favorite within the LPGA. So yeah, big win.
Yeah, she chokes way down on her clubs, her drivers, and I'll tell you what, like a mutual friend of ours, she hits a driver off the deck like I've never seen. I mean, in senior PGA news, the old men were in Scotland for their senior open. Darren Clark held on to win his first senior open to add to winning the open on the PGA Tour. So he's got a claret jug and a senior open, and it's only been done like 3 or 4 other times. Clark weathered the weather, and boy, yesterday there were some delays due to weather. They had some unbelievable rain stopped the stop the court or stop play twice. They had to squeeze you off greens. I mean, it was a deluge. Darren Clark won. He held off the surging Patrick Harrington, who won by one shot, to win by one shot. So good for him.
Yeah, I like him. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Consistent.
And as Gary Koch stated, you know, he's in the United States when he plays on the senior tour. Darren usually takes a cart, but he could not use a cart for the British Open, for the senior British Open, and it was demanding. You could tell he was noticeably limping towards the end of the fourth day. And as you said, 4 days of golf is demanding. So thank God there were not much hills at the links course. The Japanese volcano erupted yesterday, and there are two towns that were evacuated. The name of it, where the heck is it? I had it. Oh, Sakajima volcano Sunday night erupted, and it caused the evacuation of two towns. Worried about the lava flow and of course the smoke and the lava that, you know, that like took out Pompeii. So it's pretty impressive. It's the second time since 2019 that this volcano has erupted, and of course that I'm sure gives pause to other countries, including the west coast of the United States, that's on that rim where earthquakes occur as well. So we'll have to watch and see what happens there, and have to make sure tsunamis erupt should any earthquakes be caused by this volcanic eruption in Japan. So.
Now, is this one of those man-made volcanic eruptions?
Oh, one of those climate change ones? No, no.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not. I can't be 100% sure. Maybe we should ask Al Gore.
I tell you, I think that this was a man-made volcano due to fracking.
Oh, due to fracking. Really?
Yes. Yes, the fractures underneath the earth done to find and extract oil has caused an imbalance in the crust of our blue planet, causing this volcano. The only way we can stop this is to stop fracking and go green and buy an electric car.
There you go. The only problem is that to get through the ash and the lava, the electric car might not hold up. So,
yeah,
you know, mudslides. That's the other thing they were worried about was mudslides as a result of the of the volcano eruption. So,
well, if you love America, you will go with what I just told you. If you hate America, you'll say things like you just said.
Man-made. I think you're fracking nuts. Just your feelings. It's feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Trying to forget my. You know, last week you remember that there was a active shooter at a Greenwood, Indiana mall, where a gunman opened fire at a food court, and the terrorist was neutralized by a armed citizen who was exercising his Second Amendment rights, and the citizen was like 22 years old. The citizen got off 10 rounds, and he hit the terrorist 8 times. He hit the terrorist 8 times. And remember, Uvalde, Texas shooting at an elementary school took police an hour to respond. All that training, all that tactical training, and you fast forward to Indiana, a 22-year-old armed citizen with a weapon took out a terrorist with 8 shots in, 17 seconds, and he stopped a mass slaughter. And, it hit me, Al. No wonder the DNC state media has been silent about Greenwood, Indiana Mall. And they pretty much have swept it under their proverbial prayer rug. You know, all the dumping on the NRA, all the dumping on Americans exercising their Second Amendment rights, nothing is brought up about or the avoidance of talking about the Greenwood, Indiana scenario where a citizen who was carrying protected himself and he protected others. And this young man is a representative of the 81 to 83 million responsible and lawful gun owners around the United States. And he doesn't fit the narrative. Okay? He doesn't fit the narrative by the left wing, the DNC state run media. Okay? The 22-year-old citizen showed what a responsible gun owner does and how he performs under stress and the stress of a mass shooter. The accuracy and bravery this young man showed, but it's how the vast majority of we the people take our ownership of weapons. We take it seriously. And, you know, the DNC state media doesn't want that narrative. And we understand that a gun used properly can defuse an unlawful situation, such as what occurred in Greenwood, Indiana mall food court. You know, and let it sink in for a second here. A 22-year-old lawfully armed citizen stopped a terrorist who killed three people. He pulls his weapon out in 17 seconds. He terminates the terrorist. Not only terminates the terrorist, but hits the terrorist with 8 out of 10 shots. 80% of his shots were on target, and he stopped this demon. And I think that really scares the hell out of the anti-constitutionalists in Congress. And the left wing, you know, they've made it their mission to destroy and to demonize lawful citizens and the NRA. And yet nothing is spoken about how this young man conducted himself, the heroism that he showed in protecting his fellow citizens. And he did so in a very measured manner and controlled and heroic in my book. So it just hit me, you know, that this young man showed how responsible gun owners react. And it just, you know, it doesn't fit the left-wing anti-constitutional narrative.
Not at all. And if you Google the event, which I just did, the last story was 5 days ago. And the majority of the stories, that was the most recent, was 5 days. Most of them are 6 or 7 days old. So the media has essentially spiked this story with no follow-through. And this is a tragic story with a good ending and a story of why you should conceal carry and why everyone should get their concealed carry permit. To stop the bad guy with the gun, it takes a good guy with a gun.
It takes a good guy with a gun. But you know what? It also shows that the training that's offered, and whether it's an NRA course or it's a local law enforcement course, the fact is that this young man had some sort of training. And he used that training very well. He reacted as a poised individual, which you have to give him so much credit for doing, especially in a chaotic situation that was occurring. And the fact is that he was trained properly. And you know, this is representative of the 80 to 85, 83 million people in America who own weapons. You know, when we carry lawfully, we understand that the weapon, you know, can be used for lethal purposes, but we don't look for a fight. But, it, you know, when the time came, this young man rose to the occasion. And he did what the Second Amendment was designed to do. He had the right to bear arms, and he used it wisely. And unfortunately, as you just, you know, told with the stories, 5 days was the last story. This story gets zero traction. It's almost like when Steve Scalise got shot by a left-wing lunatic. That story was buried. In the meantime, yet Steve Scalise, you know, was fighting for his life for weeks and going through months of rehabilitation and nothing. And yet when something happens to a left winger, right away it's the end of the world and we have to redo the entire Constitution. We have to scrap the First Amendment. You can't meet peacefully. You know, all this radical anti-constitutional, you know, gibberish comes out of the left-wing lunatic's mouth. So congratulate, you know, this kid should get the Medal of Freedom, if anybody. And the fact is that he acted in such a mature manner. So his training, okay, to use that weapon was very good. And I'd like to know, you know, what he did or what courses he took, because I'll tell you what, to go through some refresher courses, I'd certainly want to, you know, take any NRA or other responsible gun classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. According to reports, he started engaging the shooter from approximately 50 yards out, which is pretty far for a handgun. And mm-hmm. then he made tactical movements using cover. And while he was doing that, he was waving people to escape and leave, waving people and saving, they don't tell them to get out as he tactically moved forward. And then he shot and killed the shooter in the food court, and the shooter was trying to escape. But due to his actions, bad guy down, good guys win.
Yeah, and you know what? I am saying that Steve Scalise didn't get the attention that Gabby Gifford did. Because, you know, Gabby Gifford, they wanted to scrap the Second Amendment. We had to relinquish all handguns. And Steve Scalise, you know, suffered the same types of injuries where his life was threatened. You know, I'm not taking away from Gabby Gifford and what happened to her, and certainly that individual was a sick individual, okay? But suddenly, you know, we had to reform the entire Second Amendment, but Steve Scalise gets shot. Or how about, you know, Justice Kavanaugh, you know, the attack, the assassination attempt on him, and that goes absolutely quiet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is it's insane what we have to deal with these freaking lunatics on the left.
Yeah, and Lee Zeldin recently.
Oh, Lee Zeldin.
He was attacked on stage by an assailant using
Did you see that?
Knuckle spikes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That would do some damage.
Yeah, and then due to New York's laws of no bail release, this person that tried to assassinate a gubernatorial candidate was let go immediately after arrest.
Yeah, and I understand today this is the second time he's attacked a candidate or a member of Congress. A second time now.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Do they arrest him? Do they take him in custody, or is he still free on no bail?
I think he's still on no bail.
Amazing. And then in the same state of New York, you had that one bodega owner who was attacked on video and then attacked his attacker and killed him, and then he got thrown in jail for murder. And then if there wasn't such on a huge bail of, what, $500,000 bail, and then due to public outcry, it was lowered to $25,000, and he was able to get out. But he's still having to fight for his life legally.
The charges have been dropped, by the way, on that one.
Yeah.
They've dropped the charges. Yes, and rightly so.
The mayor's a cop, a retired cop.
Yeah, Eric Adams. He's an idiot. You know, that guy, he's, you want to talk about a silver-tongued devil? I mean, that guy is going to be the quintessential, you know, destructive Democrat. Or I should say the mental Marxist as well. I mean, here's a guy who gets up on stage, was it a couple of days ago, and starts lamenting about, you know, we need help from the White House and from the federal government because the illegal aliens are, you know, coming into our city and they're using our resources. Well, no shit, Sherlock. It's exactly what we've been saying for the last, you know, 18 months, what we've been saying for the last 4 years. It's like, you know, the illegal aliens come over through the border, and then, you know, because of the porous border in nature and because of the open border policy of the Biden-Harris-Obama regime, you know, the illegal aliens come into communities and they start demanding things like housing, like food, like welfare, some sort of welfare system, education, and all of that's a drain and a strain on communities. And it's particularly a drain on the city of New York because they've already passed their budget, right? And they've already allocated money for these services, including interpretation of what happens. The illegal aliens go into the education system or have the kids in the education system who don't speak the language. They don't speak English. So now you have to afford that school an interpreter at what, $30, $40, $50, $60 an hour, okay, to help this kid get through school. In the meantime, the cash register is ringing up, okay, and more dollars are being requested, and you've already busted your budget. So what do? You go into deficit spending? Do you go into other budget items and you start taking out from what? From the fire department, from the police department, so you can pay for the social services? And so now these woke mayors, these woke left-wingers are all sitting there going, well, we can't afford that. It's draining on our resources. Well, no kidding. No kidding. And if we had an effective border policy, if we had an effective leader, okay, who wouldn't have scrapped what was working at the border, you wouldn't be inundated with illegal aliens who are putting a drain on your financial system, you moron. But it's never our fault. Oh, we don't know what to do. Oh, the federal government has that. No, the federal government are the U.S. taxpayers. We don't need to do nothing for the state of New York, for the city of New York City. You take care of that shit by yourself now.
Kudos to government, Governor Abbott for doing this, because we're talking about a very, very small percentage of these illegal aliens sign the form to go to D.C. or Chicago or one of these other sanctuary cities, and then they're screaming the most. Imagine what's going on in Texas.
Oh, my God. You've been to the border. You know what it's like in Arizona and Texas. You've been there. You've seen it.
Yeah. Yep.
Firsthand, mind
it's a
you.
Sieve. It's a sieve.
Yeah. So
And it's a national security risk at that, because yes, we don't know who's coming over. There's a lot of other than Mexicans that are coming over from Venezuela, a lot of Middle Eastern people, a lot of military-age men, very few women with children. The only time you see it on the news, it involves women and children. But the majority of these illegal aliens are military-age men.
And you know what else is interesting about that part of it, Al? And again, the DNC-sponsored state media goes deaf, dumb, and silent. You know, their reports are there was between 120 and 141 countries that have been represented that have been pouring through the border of illegal aliens. Now, even if you do some basic geography, okay, even if you're a left winger with limited mental capacity, if you can count to maybe 20, you can then count the number of countries that are between the United States, starting at Mexico and going south down to Chile. You can count the number of countries, and that doesn't total 141 countries or 127 countries. Okay, so that means that Central and South America are a minute portion of those that are making their way into the United States and making their way through the southern porous border, which lends to your point about being a national security risk. It's absolutely a national security risk. National security risk, they've already detained, that we know of, at least that they broadcasted, what, 14 Iranian nationals who are part of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. You have people coming in from Bangladesh, from Indonesia. You have Pakistanis coming through. You know, I don't know. I guess if more Pakistanis come through, we don't have to worry about our car warranty anymore. So all of this, this noise about the number of people coming through, the media has done a very, very poor job. And of course, it's all by design, because the DNC state media is sanitizing, you know, the failure of the Biden-Harris regime, especially with the border czar being, you know, Kamala Cackles-Harris, and she's done absolutely zero to help the border. And it's really sad what we're seeing coming out of Washington, D.C., the lack of leadership that is in Washington, D.C. And as a result of that lack of leadership, national security is being breached. And just take a look. There are not 121 countries between Mexico and Chile. So where is everybody else coming from? All I'm going to say.
Well, where aren't they coming from?
There you go. Where aren't they coming from? That's exactly right. And then who's financing and funding these people to be coming from Iran, coming from Indonesia, huh? Coming from Nigeria? Who is funding them?
Shoot, if I was a terrorist, I'd come through the southern border because I know that nothing's going to happen. If I get caught, they're just going to let me in and return on my own recognizance. In fact, there's a lot of passports being found and personal identification being found at the border at Eagle Pass amongst all the garbage and pollution. So there are a lot of people changing their identities or throwing all their identities away once they get across the border over to Eagle Pass and they get onto our soil. And then most of them are just gotaways and they get away. And this is a huge national security risk. And people are asking, well, why is it happening? It's happening because President Biden's policies are open border. And the reason that they're open border is because he believes that every illegal alien that comes through is a potential Democrat voter. And if enough illegal aliens come into this country, then it'll ensure power for the Democrat Party for the next two decades.
Absolutely true. The Democrat Party has no conscience, and they certainly have shown how un-American and anti-constitutional they truly are. So Joe Obama got contracted the China virus, and there's an article, a news writer for 538 stated, the news this week that Biden had been diagnosed with COVID started me thinking about the ways an American president can set the stage for his own infection through his decisions about pandemic policy. If anyone in this country ever got a case of COVID because of their own mistakes, it's Biden and Donald Trump. And it got me. It really did. It hooked me because here we go. We're talking about Biden and the fact that Joe Obama gets, you know, the COVID, but this news writer, he can't help himself to attack and include Donald Trump, you know. But what was interesting is what he said after this. He says, it's almost as if each man's illness was a microcosm of the larger way he chose to approach the virus and of how those choices affected everyone in the country he led. Okay. And this is where this is total buffoonery. And I can't believe in some ways I'm going to defend Joe Obama. But, you know, the fact is that this guy decides he's going to bring Trump into this issue too. So if anyone in this country ever got a case of COVID because of their own mistakes, it's Biden and Trump. And of course, the Trump derangement syndrome can't help but continue their jabs at Trump. But we'll play because those woke individuals, you know, understand the China virus is a virus. Do they? I mean, do they understand that the China virus is a virus? And so to sit there and say is the larger way he chose to approach the virus. So basically, should Joe Obama continue to be sequestered to the basement of the White House? Should Joe Obama be in a sterile room for the next 4 years? Or should he go on with his life? And the fact is that Joe Obama has got the ultimate of vaccinations. He's got the vaccination. He got the second jab. He got the first booster. He got the second booster. He got the booster of the booster. He got the booster of the booster of the booster. So this guy has been jabbed and boosted to the nth degree. And so what is it that he should have approached? How is it said he should have approached it? He fist bumps the Saudi Arabian leader. fist bumps him, okay? Just in diplomatic fashion, he fist bumps. Should he just stay inside of Air Force One and conduct his foreign policy, which are probably better anyways, via Zoom? I mean, what was the mistake? You know, was it a mistake that President Trump said to just, we need to get on with our lives and move on? Should Biden have done the same thing for the last 19 months, stay in a sterile room and stay in a basement? I mean, the buffoon is already on a limited schedule. What exactly should he have done as a result of his own mistakes? I mean, they let him out of the hole for a week to go to the Middle East. It was an absolute failure. The Middle East trip was a failure. And the guy gets COVID. And it was convenient that he got COVID. So now that they can put him back into the basement and he can be out of sight and out of mind for the next 10 days. Well, they tried to heal the wound and actually put a Band-Aid over the blundering of the Middle East show. But where did he get it? Where did he contract the China virus? Did he contract it in Palestine at the hotel? Did he get it in Saudi Arabia? What should this guy do? Just stay inside like he normally does? And maybe the 25th booster wasn't good enough. So should he have gotten the 26th booster and then maintained wearing a mask for the rest of his life? The China virus is a virus. The flu bug is a virus. What do these left-wing purists want? You know, and let's not forget, it was Joe Obama Biden, then candidate Joe Obama, who stated that he was going to end the China virus. Remember, it was Big Little Joe who tried to act tough during the campaign, calling out then President Trump and stating that there was 220,000 Americans dying by the China virus. And, you know, that was at the onset, and that was at the height of the pandemic, before there was any vaccination. And President Trump saw Operation Warp Speed, the release of the jab, and hopefully stem the tide, which he did. And so far, under Joe Obama, there were 400,000 deaths of American deaths under President Trump at the height of the China virus. There were over 700,000 Americans who died under Joe Obama. But remember, Joe Obama was going to end the China virus. And he had some really sharp words, you know, for the sitting president because 200,000 people died in America. And he had all the answers too, right? Joe had all the answers. He was going to solve and he was going to stop the China virus. And 16, 17, 18 months later, 700,000 more Americans have died under this bozo. It's just absolutely incredible. So I don't know what Biden and President Trump could have done differently other than staying inside, not making any personal contact with anybody while this pandemic passes, whether it takes another year, it takes 2 years, it takes 5 years. I tell you, Al, it's absolutely baffling that today we're still having this conversation and that there are protocols that Biden should have taken not to get the China virus because he acted irresponsibly. Really? Really? Like, this guy walks around with a mask all the time. Symbolism over substance. Did he really get the China virus? Or did they put him in the back room because of how he botched the Middle East trip as well? He didn't get what he had in Saudi Arabia. You notice how the DNC state media also went silent on the trip to Saudi Arabia, didn't they? Because nothing happened. Nothing happened from Khashoggi holding Saudi Arabia accountable for the assassination of Khashoggi, and nothing happened with regards to oil. Again, this is Little Joe speaking tough.
Yeah, if I recall, Macron told President Biden that Saudi Arabia wasn't going to budge on the oil because they didn't have any extra oil reserves to increase their output.
Yeah, I tell you. So, yeah, and here you have Biden, Joe Obama, taking America off energy independence, and then he's out there groveling and begging to the rest of the world, and he didn't get his way, so boom, he comes back, he's got COVID. I found this story, this 538 story, just absolutely ridiculous. You know, I mean, the rest of the United States is open. You know, yes, people are still contracting the China virus in some form of it, but by God, we can't stop the United States from being open. It's a virus. You have no idea where this virus is going to take place. Hell, they got the monkeypoxes out there. And people know about the monkeypox, and they still engage in illicit activity.
Well, monkeypox is a gay disease. From what I read, it's through gay sex that you get the monkeypox, much like AIDS.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's offensive to black people is what they're saying. And I think they need to change the name immediately.
Well, you know, if you go to Bigfoot's Place on blogspot.com yesterday, he had, with all the talk about new disease, monkeypox, which might get renamed and has become a global health emergency, I realized that there have been quite a few songs related to monkeys and not the monkeys, but these songs go all the way back to rock and roll pioneer Chuck Berry, whose fifth single was Too Much Monkey Business. And like many of his songs, this one has been covered numerous times. So I got to give props to Bigfoot. That was really good. I enjoyed that one. you know, and while we're on the subject of monkeypox, by the way, you brought up a good point. Two things about that. First thing that we should be alarmed about as American citizens is Article 6, Clause 2 of the United States Constitution. Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution is also known as the Supremacy Clause. And it states that the Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made, under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any states to the Constitution notwithstanding. Now, having said that, what many Americans don't know, or may not know, is that the Obama regime has been quietly dealing with the World Health Organization, the WHO, and the 194 nations of the United Nations, and they're finding ways to cede U.S. sovereignty to the World Health Organization when it comes to America's health care. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for 4 years we heard during the Trump presidency that President Trump was violating the Constitution. President Trump was this with the Constitution. President Trump was violating this amendment. President Trump was doing none of that. It was absolutely a bold-faced lie by the left wing. But in 18 short months, we have learned that the violations coming out of this administration, the Biden-Harris regime, are numerous, including the attempted violation of Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution. And mind you, it was Obama Biden who took an oath of office, not only as President of the United States, but as Vice President and as United States Senator on numerous occasions to protect and defend the United States Constitution. However, Joe Biden unilaterally decides that he is going to hand over U.S. sovereignty to the World Health Organization. The President of the United States decides that he is going to hand over U.S. sovereignty to a non-governmental entity. And where is the outrage? The World Health Organization has not been right on many things. And the reason this comes to play is because now the World Health Organization, despite not having a majority of their board members in agreement, has declared that the monkeypox is a global emergency. So what does that mean? That could mean that World Health Organization would set our American, our U.S. healthcare policies. I'm sorry. That is absolutely wrong. It is dead wrong. The United States Senate did not pass any treaty. The United States Congress did not draft a treaty, did not draft any laws that we are to follow the World Health Organization. You want to talk about a little dictator in the White House? You want to talk about a rogue dictator who is unilaterally stepping over and trampling on the United States Constitution? It is Joe Biden, a lifelong member of government, an absolute blowhard as a senator, has total disrespect for the United States Constitution. And now it appears that he has ceded U.S. sovereignty concerning healthcare over to the World Health Organization. On May 22nd to 28, 2022, the 75th World Health Assembly convened in Geneva, Switzerland, delegates from 194 nations to vote on the Biden administration proposed amendments to the international health regulations that will hand over national sovereignty and authority to the WHO, the World Health Organization, which during the COVID pandemic carried the water bucket for the Chinese Communist Party regarding the Wuhan lab. On January 18, 2022, officials from the Biden administration quietly sent the WHO extensive amendments without an official statement or a single press conference. You want to talk about a violation of the United States Constitution? These proposed amendments are written to strengthen the organization's ability to unilaterally intervene into the nation, into the affairs of nations merely suspected of having a health emergency of possible concern to other nations. And that's why this monkeypox is a troubling situation, because the World Health Organization, the WHO, despite the fact that the board of the WHO, the majority of board, did not want to declare this a global emergency, has now declared monkeypox a global emergency. And as a result of Joe Biden's illegal, unconstitutional acts of ceding U.S. healthcare sovereignty to the WHO, this is very troubling. It's troubling in so many ways, because the United States Senate, who authorizes and approves treaties, there is no record of them approving any type of ceding of sovereignty to a world body, the United Nations, the useless nations. This is unconscionable what we're seeing out of this destructive and rogue government. You know, but it's not only Biden who is rogue. You know, you also have George Soros. And I'm bringing it up because George Soros runs the Open Society Foundation. Now, the Open Society Foundation is trying their best in the United States to upend the United States Constitution and is to dismantle our constitutional republic. And George Soros' Open Society Foundation is doing their damnedest, including had funded Occupy Wall Street. They fund the anarchists, and they are funding the civil unrest that we've seen over the last 5 to 10 years in the United States. George Soros is a cancer. However, it turns out that his entire employment structure is a cancer. So Soros Open Foundation employee brags about having group sex with multiple men at a pride event and then blames the government for catching monkeypox and gonorrhea. Now, what does that tell you about the George Soros Open Society organization? What does it tell you about the people he employs? Is there any wonder why America's left-wing woke society is so screwed up as we are witnessing? So George Soros Open Society employee Sebastian Cohn I think that's how it's spelled, or it's talked about, was in New York. And according to the post from Andy Wynn, Sebastian Cohen is one of the directors at the George Soros Open Society Foundation. He is the current division director, Signature Initiatives, at Soros' Open Society Foundation. Sebastian outright admitted that he was aware that monkeypox was an emerging issue, especially for gay men. There you go, Al. And yet, he had sex with multiple men anyway because he believed that the number of cases in the city was not very high. Excuse me, I'm talking about New York City, where it is one of the largest locations in the United States for monkeypox. So here is Cohn. I was aware that monkeypox was an emerging issue, especially for gay men. But I was also under the impression that the number of cases in the city was relatively small, Sebastian told The Guardian. What I didn't understand was how absolutely dismal testing capacity was, and that at that point, the city only had the capacity to process 10 tests a day. I had sex with several guys over the weekend. Then a week later, on July 1, I started feeling very fatigued. I had high fever with chills and muscle aches. My lymph nodes were so swollen they were protruding 2 inches out of my throat. So instead of taking responsibility for his own actions, because Sebastian is an adult, by the way, he's blaming the government for how poorly it handled the situation. After he gets home, the rash started spreading. I began to feel anxious. I developed lesions literally everywhere. They started out looking like mosquito bites before developing into pimply blisters that would eventually pop and leave scab before leaving a scar. I had them on my skull, my face, my arms, my legs, my feet, my hands, my torso, my back, and just 5 on my right elbow. At the peak, I had 50 lesions, a fever of 103, intense pain prompting panic. Ironically, the only place I didn't have the lesions was my penis. The next day, he got STI results. He was positive for gonorrhea. Amazing, huh? And then the results come back from monkeypox, and he had monkeypox. So Sebastian Cohn, who's with the employed by the George Soros Open Society Organization, was that stupid not to understand there are consequences for engaging in unprotected sex, and worse, unprotected homosexual sex, which he could have even included contracting HIV. But somehow, this is the federal government's fault. This is the government's fault. Because this guy was reckless. This adult was reckless. How in the world is it always someone else's fault with these left-wing progressives, these left-wing Marxists? You see, this is the left-wing progressive socialist mentality, is to blame everyone else and not accept responsibility for one's actions. Sebastian outright admitted that he was aware that monkeypox was an emerging issue, especially for gay men. So go ahead and continue your aggressive lifestyle and go out and contract a disease, contract gonorrhea, contract HIV, contract monkeypox, and then come back and piss and moan to everybody that you got monkeypox because you were too stupid. You were too irresponsible to engage in some type of safe sex. Not only having sex with one, but multiple men. And this is the government's fault. You don't wish this horrific disease, this virus on anybody. But the fact is that this guy is stupid. And we sit here and we wonder about George Soros' Open Society Organization and why we have left-wingers who think the way they think. These progressive Marxist mentality, where it's always somebody else's fault. Sebastian outright admitted he was aware that monkeypox was an emerging issue. The Gateway Pundit previously reported that New York City is now the epicenter of the monkeypox outbreak, which accounts for 30% of all U.S. cases. Yet this is the government's fault? Folks, George Soros, his foundation, and now his employees, they are a cancer on our society. They are a cancer in our republic. Maybe Sebastian should start reading the Gateway Pundit. Maybe he should start reading factual periodicals like the Gateway Pundit. He would have known that 30% of all monkeypox outbreaks are from New York instead of going out and conducting, engaging in orgies in New York City and then sitting there pissing and moaning, screaming in pain because he's got the monkeypox virus and gonorrhea. What a jerk. Al, you don't wish this on anybody. But there's two things here. One is you got the president of the United States now has unilaterally ceded control and wanted to cede control to the World Health Organization for America's health policy. And then you've got the George Soros, you know, Open Foundation and his employees acting absolutely irresponsibly and then blaming the government. It's as bad as the story I read, you know, last month where a woman sued Geico Insurance for contracting an STD in some guy's car. Yeah, she gave a guy a blowjob in a car, contracted an STD, and then she sues Geico, the guy's auto insurance, for $1 million because she contracted an STD in this guy's car.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, come on. Okay, so the appeal, right? Wait a minute. It gets better. A 3-judge panel awards her $5.2 million.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm dead serious.
Holy cow. That has nothing to do with car insurance. I don't even think – I know I don't have coverage like that on my car insurance policy.
I tell you, this, you know, this whole Marxist movement is a cancer. I mean, it really is. And I'll tell you, what we are seeing happening today and the total disrespect for the U.S. Constitution, the ignorance of the left wing. And, you know, there was a reason why the progressives back in the late 70s, early 80s took civic affairs out of and history out of the classroom where they weren't teaching the Constitution. There was a reason for that. And that was to dumb down Americans. And boy, I see it on Twitter with people being dumb, not understanding what the 10th Amendment is, not understanding the U.S. Constitution, not understanding that abortion doesn't appear in the U.S. Constitution. They have no idea what the Constitution means. None. And then you have people like Biden going, well, you can't own a tank. Excuse me. You know, it doesn't say anything about that in the Constitution, right? You shouldn't – nobody needs to own an AR-15. Back then when they wrote the Second Amendment, they only had muskets. Well, that's not – you know what? Then how does the freedom of speech apply to computers, huh, when you're on the Internet, social media, huh? How is it? Because our founders were brilliant. They were brilliant men. And it's – you know, the left wing in today's left wing – have no idea how great this document is. And it's symbolism over substance. And this Sebastian Cohn that works for, you know, George Soros Open Gay Society, Open Society Foundation, you know, this is another guy. This is the reason we're in the state we are in right now with this mentality. It's the government's fault. No, it is your fault, you dumbass. It is your fault.
And the people that he puts into his cabinet. Take Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, for example. She claimed that the United States economy is not in a recession, but rather a period of transition in which growth is slowing, close quotes. And she was pressed by NBC host Chuck I'm a Liberal Todd, Chuck Todd, over the weekend. Yellen said that growth is slowing, even though output appears to be turning negative for a sustained period of time. So the definition of a recession is, in economics, a recession is a business cycle contraction where there is a general decline in economic activity. Recessions generally occur when there is a widespread drop in spending. So Yellen gave the definition of what's happening as that of recession, but she doesn't use the recession word. She says a slowing of the economy, and she does that to gaslight the American people. And Chuck Todd, who is a flaming liberal, he had to question her on it, which is unheard of. But he let it go at that. And that's the head of our Treasury Department. Because if America does not have a strong economy, we have a very, very weak foundation with which the House of America is built upon.
I mean, how do you like that vernacular from coming out of this administration? When I heard her give that comment that we're in a period of transition, you know,
mm-hmm.
You want to talk about absolutely a flat-out lie? You know, they sanitize and they find phrases that are supposed to be, you know, disarming, right? They're disarming the American people by using this phrase, period of transition. You know, it's absolute horseshit. We're in a period of transition. The fact is that the policies that are from the Biden-Harris regime have been failing. They failed since January 21st of 2021. And Janet Yellen is trying to put lipstick on a pig. Well, it's still a pig. And the fact is that we're not in a period of transition. We are transitioning into a recession. We've probably already transitioned into a recession. And they're trying to temper this before the other news comes out this Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, and I believe we are in a recession. And Janet Yellen made those comments 5-6 hours ago on the morning shows. 2 hours ago and 1 hour ago on Fox News, Biden says, quote, we're not going to be in a recession ahead of GDP numbers, God willing, close quote. An hour later, Biden on Axios is reported as saying, we're not going to be in a recession. So the Biden administration sent Janet Yellen out on the Sunday shows today to make that comment. I'm sorry, yesterday to make that comment. And now today, Biden is doubling down and knowing that he will get away with it because the media will not question him. And he's free to gaslight the American people.
Oh,
except for the listeners on our show who know better. We know when someone's feeding us a bunch of cow dung, and we are getting it in spades, and it's very scary to be getting that from our leader, our president.
You know, it's one thing that, you know, you understand that they don't want to cause panic, okay? But the numbers don't lie. And even Jean Lafitte there, she gives her White House press conference and she, you know, she's asked a question and immediately she goes to the unemployment numbers. Well, that wasn't the question. Okay. The question was, are we heading into a recession? How do you sugarcoat it? And of course you avoid, or you go with Yellen and you start changing the vernacular. Well, we're in a period of transition. You know, you never used that term when you were Fed chair, period of transition. The fact is that Biden's policies have been a failure. They've failed the American people. He's intentionally, you know, plunged America into a recession. His policies have failed. You know, on January 21st, you can say all you want to say, but January 21st of 2021, they started taking away everything that Trump did that was working. The mission was to erase Trump from any type of history, irrespective of the ramifications. And immediately we saw gas prices starting to climb. And as a result of gas prices climbing, the ancillary prices started going up. Well, truckers, you know, they went from paying $2 a gallon for diesel, they're paying $5. Where do you think those costs are passed? They're passed on the American consumer. They're passed to the consumer. And then we saw the price of heating oil escalate from $2.20 a gallon to $5 a gallon. That didn't just impact the people making over $400,000 a year. It impacts each and every person who uses oil to heat their home here in the Northeast. My sister paid $600 more to fill up her oil tank in a season. $600 more. And thankfully, she's still working. But as someone who is over, who would be living solely upon Social Security, that is huge. That is huge. Boyd in California, $6 a gallon. So all these policies that and the reimplementation of regulations and rules that are meant to hamstring businesses, the forced wage increase of minimum wage, all of that's led to what we're seeing today. And Janet Yellen sitting there going, a period of transition? That's absolute hogwash.
Well, after she said that, during the White House press conference, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked, what is exactly the White House's definition of a recession, was the question. Her answer, quote, I'm not going to define it from here. So when they nailed to the wall for a definition, they just refuse to answer, and the media lets them get away with it. So essentially, hey, folks, hey, American people, recession is canceled because the White House said so. Move along, please. Nothing to see here.
Well, she's just being transparent.
You called it. There's sarcasm. Duly noted.
I'm sorry. I was transitioning into that answer. So maybe John Lafitte was in a period of transition in trying to answer that question.
Maybe she just said, hey, screw you. I'm not going to answer it, America. What are you going to do about it?
Nothing. The DNC state media will do nothing. They will continue to cover for this inept administration. This is one feckless administration. You know, it just boggles the mind. And Janet Yellen, of all people, who was Treasury Secretary, is sanitizing this this economy. My goodness,
it's
gracious.
Economics 101. It's not that difficult. Figure out what a recession is. It's easy.
It really is easy. As my old boss used to say, okay?
Yeah.
He used to say income.
Yeah.
He used to say income minus expenses equals a profit or a loss. And if you run this business at a loss, there's going to come a time where I want you to leave the keys on the desk. I want you to lock the door and turn the lights out when you go out and just move on, okay? Because income minus expenses equals profit or a loss. And if you run this business at a loss on a consistent basis, you will lose this business. When you're done, just leave the keys on the desk, turn out the lights, lock the door behind you, and move on. And we won't talk again. And it's like, wow. You know, there's a simple economic theory for you.
As a small businessman, he's 100% right. But if you are the U.S. government, we the people are the earners. We the people are our own customers. In fact, our taxes are one of the main way that our country gets income in order to do the enumerated powers within the Constitution, building federal highways, maintaining federal roads, maintaining federal transportation. There's 18 of them. But we're doing so much more. We shouldn't.
Yeah, and there was a record influx of revenue to the government, and there was record spending, a $500 billion deficit spending. So there's absolutely zero fiscal responsibility. And that's the other thing that people don't talk about. And this is really where this government, including Congress, has been reckless and irresponsible.
In fact, I think all this bullshit from the Biden White House caused that Japanese volcano to explode. You can quote me on that.
I think you might be right. Well, I'll tell you what. So far, a volcano has erupted in Japan, but there's another possible eruption that could happen, and it's been issued by China. China issues private warnings to U.S. upon the petulant Pelosi's Taiwan trip. Now, why Nancy Pelosi would be going to Taiwan is beyond me, I have no idea why she would engage in this. Other than we perhaps have a very weak president and a weak State Department. China issued a strong private warnings to the United States government about a planned trip to Taiwan by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, which included a possible military response, the Financial Times reports. The warnings were much stronger than those made previously when China wasn't pleased with U.S. policy and actions related to Taipei, the paper said, citing unidentified people familiar with the issue. China's foreign minister earlier this week officially vowed to take a resolute and strong response to any Taiwan visit by Pelosi, which is reported to be next month. Her trip would be the first by a House Speaker to Taipei since 1997. Pelosi's office didn't respond to a request from Financial Times for a comment about whether she might abandon her trip. And of course, we're talking about transparency, and neither Biden nor Pelosi are transparent in any way, shape, or form. Beijing routinely responds angrily to countries that deal directly with Taiwan, which China claims as part of its territory. Joe Biden also raised doubts about whether the visit would go ahead, saying Wednesday that the military thinks it's not a good idea right now. I mean, there you go. There's a good way to sanitize it, Joe. The military doesn't think it's a good idea to go right now. So Holder asked the question. He asked me yesterday, well, what do you think? Do you think Pelosi goes? What happens if she doesn't go? And I said, I think what happens is what happens if Biden tells her she can't go? I think what happens is Nancy Pelosi comes down with the China virus. I think you watch sometime in the next month, if the trip to Taiwan is canceled, right before that trip, Nancy Pelosi is going to have the China virus. And they'll say something like she caught it from Biden. She caught it from a staffer. She caught it from the – so she wasn't wearing her mask, and she was dipping through shit in San Francisco, and she got the China virus. Something, but that's what they'll use as escape. Why is she going to Taiwan? Not that she shouldn't, but for some reason now, this current regime, this current Democrat Party regime, from Pelosi to Biden to Harris, Biden seemed to egg on Putin to invade Ukraine. Now, if tensions are so high right now, and you know the Chinese know that the U.S. government is weak, and the elderly man is weak, and the people that are surrounding this elderly man are weak, including Harris, including Pelosi, that old broad's going to take a trip to Taiwan? And what exactly would Biden's response be? And see, this is the problem with having a weak president. This is the problem with having a weak foreign policy. Do you think that the loss of Afghanistan and the manner in which we we fled Afghanistan. We, meaning the United States under Biden, did not send a message to our foreign adversaries. It certainly did to Russia. You think that they took Joe Biden serious? And the Chinese. I mean, the Biden crime family is bought and paid for by the Chinese. You know, Joe will say some tough things. Nasty will come down with the China virus. The whole trip will be canceled, and the report in Drudge will be an afterthought. This is what happens when you have a weak government, and the United States is weak right now. We have mixed messages coming out of every department. Biden speaking out of all four sides of his mouth. There's corruption, and there's total disdain for the United States Constitution. Other than that, we're in a period of transition, folks. So what's your take on Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan?
Well, considering China is looking very closely at taking over Taiwan, why they haven't done it yet, I don't know, but I think it's a move that shows that America will resist if China does go after Taiwan. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. On the surface, it seems I don't have a problem with it because we need to do something to assure the Taiwanese that we're going to protect them should China go in and retake their territory. But do I think it's worth getting into World War III to protect Taiwan? I don't know.
Well,
I haven't really made up my
mind. You haven't made up your mind? Is that what you said?
I'm firmly unsure.
Well, to me, I'm firmly sure only because of who is sitting in the White House right now and who are the people behind him. And I don't think that we have a strong enough regime in Washington, D.C. Matter of fact, I don't think I know. I mean, the fact is that do you really trust Joe Biden to make the right decision? The guy's been wrong on everything.
No. Not as far as I can throw the Marxist bastard.
Exactly. And you know, something as simple, and it wasn't simple, okay? But the fact is that now we find that there's writing on the wall in Afghanistan, and nothing was done. And he let Afghanistan collapse. He let it collapse because it didn't just happen overnight. There was at least 1 month where things were happening, and yet there was no response, and there was a lack of response by this administration. So was it all by design that he let it collapse? Did he do it at the behest of China so China can go in and capture the resources? After all the money, the U.S. taxpayer money that had been poured into Afghanistan, in the end, nothing has changed in Afghanistan from the time that we invaded back in 2003 to 2021 when it collapsed. Nothing's changed. You have the same issues right now that have come back to fruition, like girls not getting educated, women being second-class citizens, the Taliban terrorists have taken over the country, and now China has embedded themselves in Afghanistan. What's changed? Nothing's changed. You know, and you know, it used to be that we'd go in, we prosecute a war to win. You know, all this talk about drugs coming into the United States, and there's certainly a crap load of drugs coming into the United States, and we can thank Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for their failed efforts at the southern border. And China is one of the facilitators of the fentanyl that's coming into the United States. But who was responsible for the heroin and the heroin fields, the poppy fields? You know, George W. Bush. You know, I have to say, I supported the guy. But the one thing that's really eaten at me over the last 20 years is when he had an opportunity to raise those poppy fields. Well, you know, what are the Afghan farmers going to do? Well, fuck you. Who are they going to do? The fact is that our kids are dying by heroin. Our kids are dying by drug overdoses. Wait until it impacts your family and you see how it divides a family. Huh? The cost just to that child alone, or the young kids. I got a friend of mine, daughter's been through rehab over the last 10 years, no less than 6 times, how it destroys a family, how families lose someone to drug overdoses. You had an opportunity to raise the poppy fields in Afghanistan, and you didn't do it. So what happens? The drug traffickers love you for that, don't they?
Big time.
So we got a question. Taiwan is not an ally of America. There's no America policy in place to defend Taiwan. So wouldn't Joe have to go to Congress to get approval to fight the Chinese? You know what, Holger? Joe doesn't do anything. Joe can unilaterally make a decision now by executive order. Hell, he made the unilateral decision to cede U.S. sovereignty, our health care, to the World Health Organization, the WHO, without Senate approval. So Joe basically is doing anything he wants, and that's what a little tyrant does. That's what a dictator does. Everything that they accuse President Trump of doing and falsely accuse him is exactly what Joe Biden is doing. So technically, yes, he would have to get congressional approval to engage in war. You think Joe Biden really cares about the U.S. Constitution? I don't. And after seeing what's been going on behind the scenes with regards to the World Health Organization, Joe Biden is doing anything he wants to do unilaterally. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the two big mouths of Congress, are allowing that to happen. Just like they allowed to happen the Iran deal back when Obama, Biden engaged in that without senatorial approval. Matter of fact, I believe that it was Obama who used the term a treaty, the Iran treaty, when in fact it was not a treaty. And when he was called out on that, well, it was the Iran deal. Can't believe what we are witnessing today in 18 short months. We can't believe it. Neither can Jill Biden. Okay, so Dr. Jill, Taco Jill, she had a Democrat Party fundraiser. I love the fact that they use the term Democratic. She's at a Democrat Party fundraiser, and Joe Biden starts whining, and she's lamenting how the president has so many hopes and plans for things he wanted to do, but every time he turned around, he had to address the problems of the moment. So here is Greg Gutfeld's response to Joe Biden's whining and moaning as if Joe Biden wasn't aware of what a president's duty is, right? Because he told us, folks, come day one, I'm ready to go, and I'm going to hit the ground running, and I know what to expect, right? That was all the sound bites, you know, because Joe Biden is a walking sound bite. He's an empty suit, but he had all the answers during the campaign, right? You know, we'll be ready. We're gonna eradicate the China virus, and I'll tell you, folks, I'm ready. I'm up to the job. And now Dr. Jill Biden decides that she starts whining that her husband had to address the problems of the moment, including be able to speak. So here's Greg Gutfeld, and just absolutely nails it.
Yeah.
Once again,
Dr. Jill drones on about how the thrill is gone. The president's agenda paused by all the problems his policies caused, and the list of what they didn't see coming is longer than one of foods Joe enjoys gumming. Yeah, screw you, Dr. Seuss. New sheriff in town. This weekend, First Lady, Professor and Pediatric Neurosurgeon, Dr. Jill Biden. I'm trying. She whined that the stalled progress of her husband's political agenda is due to unexpected problems at home and overseas. During a private DNC fundraiser, my invite must have gotten lost in the mail, Dr. Jill lamented the president has had so many hopes and plans for things he wanted to do, but every time he turned around, he had to address the problems of the moment or movement. See what I did there? I shouldn't have said that. He's just had so many things thrown his way. It's always sad to see a 79-year-old not have his hopes and plans come true. Especially when those plans include don't go poop-poop in the bathtub. But we get it. It's not like presidents are supposed to anticipate things or rise to the challenges that every leader faces when they run the free world. Instead, a normal president should never expect a crisis. He should just cruise along in a bomber jacket and aviator sunglasses, knowing his VP's got everything covered. Right, Cam? You know, if only we had some new Kamala linguistic linguine complete with bongos.
I do believe that we should have rightly believed, but we certainly believe that certain issues are just settled. Certain issues are just settled.
Clearly we're not.
No, that's right. And that's why I do believe that we are living, sadly, in real unsettled times.
Perfect. Meanwhile, only here. Saturday, during his final day of his trip to the Middle East, Joe was stumbling through it as usual.
Look, you've heard me say before, in the Western Mountains of China, for global initiative, the global infrastructure, we had a good discussion. Is this inconsistent with who we are? No one's ever wondered what I mean when I say. The question is, I sometimes say all that I mean. I just answered your question. Do I regret it? I don't regret anything that I said.
I don't think he remembers it, but it makes sense to me. Then again, I'm more baked than a plate of ziti, Judge. What say you, Joe?
Hey, look, listen to my wife, all right? She's a doctor. She's right. How am I supposed to get anything done with all these things happening? Trying to make gas prices go down? But they're going up. That's opposite, man. And get the global warming thing happening? But it's too hot. Too hot. And what happened? J-Lo just married Ben Affleck? Who saw that coming? Right? I thought he was gay married to Matt Damon.
Jamie, I like the reasoning that he would be a great president if nothing was happening.
They keep saying this. Remember, yeah. Biden himself said this. Remember, he was like, I would get stuff done, but people kept throwing stuff on my desk.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, there keeps being problems. Yeah, you're like the president.
Yeah.
Like, if there was nothing, we wouldn't need one. Yeah. If there was this, that was crazy. I hadn't seen that before, the speech where he was like, you've heard me say it before, and then he just made a bunch of noises. I thought he was going to say, that's all, folks, at the end of it. For a minute there. That was crazy. When I heard he was on a 4-day trip, I was like, how long was that flight of stairs?
That was good. That was good. I could see it in my head as it was coming out. Iris. I love how there's all this bad going on, right? Crime and war. But he's the victim because it's hurting him.
Yeah.
His popularity.
I know the few times he came out of the cellar, he told us that he had years and years of experience.
Right.
And he has seen everything you could possibly think of. Except.
Yes. Everything.
Everything you could possibly think of. Yeah, somebody sold us a bill of goods, Gutfeld, and it's just a big old bucket of gruel.
Not going to say it, Kat. I think the problem with Biden is that he was always the consummate coaster. He wasn't supposed to work. Remember, everything was supposed to go back to normal, and once Trump leaves, everything's going to smooth out. No, the world doesn't cater to people who – I don't know the end of that sentence.
Well, you got the first part out okay.
Thanks. So. Thank you.
That's great. I'll give you a C+. I know. I actually don't think that they should have been surprised. Because what she's saying is, okay, he had all this stuff that he wanted to do, but the other stuff keeps happening.
Yeah.
I think it's been pretty well established that the presidency is a fast-paced work environment. That's what it's about. You have to deal with things as they come up. Like, you're the president.
You know, you know what they're saying, Judge? What they're saying is they wish there were two presidents. The one that's just like the vice president, you know what I mean? Like walking around shake. Joe just wants to still be the vice president.
No.
And then they need a real president, which should be a Republican who gets done.
But the thing that bothers me.
I know.
Okay.
See, Judge, when I swear, I get more applause.
Yeah.
Well, try that on the five.
What?
Try that on the five.
Yeah, I will try it on the five, but there's no audience on the five. That's the difference. Here's the thing with her. She's as dumb as he is, okay? She gets out there and she says, we never expected Roe versus Wade. And then she thinks about it and she says, no, actually, we had 6 weeks from the leak to the real decision. She said, but we didn't believe it, okay? And then she says, you know, what did we know about Ukraine? We never expected it. All these things just happened. They were building up the forces for like months and months and asking Joe for weapons. But they didn't know it was coming. In Afghanistan, where we had 13 service people who were killed, we didn't know about it. The day you walked in, Joe, you knew about it. What are you talking about? The two of them are lying.
Yeah.
That's all.
I mean, this is he's never been right on anything, right?
No, he's never been right on any foreign policy issue ever.
But you know why he's always happy? Because he's eternally surprised by the next moment in time.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think he would have been better. I think he would have been better served if he would have ran for, like, Walmart greeter.
Yes.
There's always something new coming in.
He would have been better served.
Hi. Yes. Eventually, someone's going to find the handshake if you just stand in front of the door. It's going to go, oh.
Yeah. Tell the corn pop story. They don't have a choice when they're in line trying to buy their
He would paper. Stand right in front of the cart, so you would have to go through him.
Exactly.
And then he'd have to be moved back because, you know, he gets...
And then you could ask him a question, and what aisle is so-and-so in? He could say...
What are you asking me for? That's not my job. Not his job. That's what I'm saying. Two presidents. We should do this. A real president that's Republican, and then the guy that is good at playing a president. The Democrat. The Democrat's charismatic. The Bill Clinton, the Barack Obama, and then behind the scenes, you got the guy, the mechanic. You got Donald Trump doing all the weird stuff. I like how they went to...
Gutfeld, he absolutely nailed it. When I heard, I was at Bigfoot's Place on blogspot.com, and I read the article about Joe Biden comments, you know, with regards at this Democrat fundraiser, and she was stating that the president had so many hopes and plans for things he wanted to do, but every time he turned around, he had to address the problems of the moment. And the problem, however, is that he's not addressed any of the problems of the moment. So, and then Jill also admitted the utter failure seen by everyone but the Biden administration. She continued, he just had so many things thrown his way. I mean, who would have ever thought about what happened with Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade? Well, maybe we saw it coming, but we still didn't believe it. And the gun violence in this country is absolutely appalling. It's not something that just didn't happen, by the way. We didn't see the war in Ukraine. And that, of course, is a flat-out lie because there, you know, for a couple of months, I believe that Big Al had stated that Biden was egging on Putin. He didn't see the war in Ukraine coming. I mean, he literally egged on Vladimir Putin to invade the country instead of trying to defuse the situation, creating yet another crisis, which we know was planned. And in order to use Putin as a tool, and he used him as a tool for blaming for the rise in gas prices. And we all know this is Putin's right. This is Putin's inflation. This is Putin's this. You know, Biden refused to acknowledge and address the rapid escalation of gas prices rising, you know, which were due to Biden's immediate revoking of Trump's energy policies on day one of occupying the White House. What about the border? The border was secured. All Joe Biden had to do was continue with the same policies that were in place that had worked for the four previous years. Matter of fact, it was President Trump who, by trial and error, found the right method, and it kept the border secure. We didn't have 2 million people invading the United States in 16 months. And then this guy sits there and says that, or his wife goes on there and says that, you know, they didn't see this coming. It's one problem after another. Well, Joe created that because Joe is dumb. He's not smart enough to take care of things. But he had all the answers because he likes to speak tough, you know, on the campaign trail, right? Joe had all the answers on the campaign trail. Little Joe had all the answers. And nothing has come to fruition. I love Gutfeld.
Yeah,
he tells it like it is.
He's a very funny man, and he makes the complex easy, and I like that. And Biden is winning because all of his policies are winning. He wanted he told the American people he was going to do this during the campaign. Coal gone, fossil fuels gone, and he's doing it. And the American people didn't believe that he would do it or could do it. I believe he wanted to do it. I didn't think that he could do it. And he is doing it, and we're getting done because he's a revolutionary. If you want to change our country, our political system, you got to tear it down to build it back better, and he is tearing it down one brick at a time.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And not accepting responsibility. And, you know, he also scolded then President Trump, stating that he had not taken responsibility for the actions when, in fact, it's Joe Biden who was doing the very thing of not taking, you know, responsibility for the actions.
Yeah. And with President Trump, everything that he did get through, building the wall, for example, the establishment Republicans, they fought him tooth and nail the whole way. It's like, oh, you can never build the wall. Every Republican candidate and president, elected president, they're going to build a wall, and they never do because the establishment doesn't want it. The Democrats didn't want it. So it didn't happen.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it happened, and it was good.
It was working. Oh. That was the thing. It was working under Trump. All he had to do was continue the policies.
Yeah, I mean, nothing was perfect. I mean, nothing's
right.
100%, but yes, it was working. And he got the Mexicans to stop these illegal aliens on their side of the border. That story you reported earlier about the mayor of D.C. and complaining because there's more illegal aliens coming into D.C. I think Abbott should flood D.C. with illegal aliens by the busload.
He is. That was Mayor Eric Adams, by the way. I was talking of New York City, who was lamenting and pissing and moaning about the drain on communities and social programs.
Oh yeah, and well, Bowser was doing the same thing in D.C.
Right. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, the utopian society isn't working as well for you, or what?
I guess. I mean, hell, the greatest. The worst human child predator in centuries, Ghislaine Maxwell. Did you know? Yes, she's still alive, but they're moving her to serve her 20-year prison sentence at a low security prison in Tallahassee, Florida.
Really?
I don't think she's going to survive. The judge who sentenced her said, "I don't think that's such a great idea." So I'm thinking that Ghislaine Maxwell's future is suspect, possibly shortened.
I would have to agree with you, you know, because the only person that has paid any type of price for what occurred at Epstein Island is Prince Andrew.
That's it.
Kinda. in a half-ass way, I mean.
Exactly. But he's the only person that has been publicly shamed. The only person.
You think?
Yeah, Prince Andrew in the can. He's gone. I mean, you know, he's gone out of public sight. And you know what? Out of sight, out of mind. As if there is the hierarchy in England. You've got you got Prince Charles's son, who has conducted himself very elegantly, royally,
mm-hmm.
in a royal manner. His wife has conducted herself in a royal manner, and they are set to accept the reins. Prince Charles is there. Will he be king? I doubt it. He can't be king. But Prince Andrew, he's an afterthought. So he's the mm-hmm. only person that has suffered any type of consequence as a result of Epstein Island. We've heard about the 26, yeah. 27 trips to the island on Lolita Express with Bill Clinton. There's a picture of Bill Clinton and Justice Roberts in swimming in a water off of Epstein Island, and there's nothing. There are no consequences. There's all conspiracy theories about, why Roberts, voted the way he did or rendered the decision the way he did on Obamacare. But again, there are no consequences so far for any actions that occurred with the sordid behavior of raping young girls. I'm sorry, having sex with young girls, underage girls. The only person that's paid that price is Prince Andrew. And he gets to retire lavishly. With the Queen's fortune. So who else paid? Has Bill Clinton? No.
Jeffrey
Epstein. And Ghislaine Maxwell will probably pay, just like you said, because if she even leaks any type of notion that she's going to release names, she will be Clintonite. Clinton side, she'll be dead. And that's what's so frustrating. The frustrating part of it is there is right and wrong, and we're not all purists, but by God, how do these people in Washington D.C. these elites continue to get away with virtually murder? We're talking about the abuse of young girls. How in the world can this even be tolerated and covered up? Why? Because he was a former president of the United States? That should exonerate him? Hell no. He has a sordid background. My God, there's documented proof of him raping women in the past. And yet they walk away unscathed. And that's what's frustrating to we the people. We don't expect the purists. We don't expect someone with the vocabulary and the demeanor of a Ronald Reagan to be there, at every turn. But, we expect some sort of honesty and integrity in our government. And we don't have that right now. And when a person that put America first, literally put America first, literally believed in the American people, and literally believed in the American dream, he was attacked. He was assailed. He was ridden out of town. And we have some dope, a chimpanzee in the White House right now who can't keep his story straight, can't govern, leads from behind, and is weak. Likes to talk tough, but he's a weak man.
Hey,
what?
Hey, that's how monkeypox got started.
Oh.
Leading from behind.
Leading from behind. I wonder if Pete Buttigieg gets it. So I know we only got about 10 minutes left, and there's this one story we got to get through really quick. And this one also bothered me with I don't know if you saw it, but I'm sure you did. Rashida Tlaib. So there's some controversy around Rashida, mother effer Tlaib, and the fact that she had a 2018 campaign events, and this is important because it was her campaign that paid for these events, and the organizers of those events have a sordid background. Did you know that a gentleman by the name of Rafiq Jabir was involved in the Rashida Tlaib campaign. And Vito, what's so important about Rafiq Jabir was tied to the Islamic Association for Palestine that was shut down by the United States government for raising money and funding terrorist organizations such as Hamas, who are on the U.S. terrorist list. Two men who held key positions at nonprofit groups were found liable in a Hamas terror financing scheme, helped organize campaign fundraising for Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib, Democrat from Michigan, in 2018. The men who organized the events that were paid for by Tlaib's campaign were associated with a network of nonprofit groups that were found liable by a federal jury in 2004 for financing the terrorist slaying of an American teenager, David Boehm, at a bus stop in the West Bank in 1996. A federal judge ordered the three groups to pay Boehm's parents $156 million judgment for funding Hamas, a designated foreign terrorist organization. Yes, Hamas is on the FTO list. The three groups were the Holy Land Foundation, where have we heard that, American Muslim Society, and the Islamic Association for Palestine. Oh, and guess what? They never paid up. The IAP, the Islamic Association for Palestine, then became what? The Council on American Islamic Rights Relations, CARE. The American Muslim Society closed their doors. And after that, the Holy Land Foundation shut their doors, except ultimately had its monetary assets seized by the United States. And five of its leaders were sentenced to decades in prison in 2008 for providing material support to Hamas. The first Tlaib campaign organizer, Rafiq Jabir, testified during a deposition in 2003 that he served as president of American Muslim Society and the Islamic Association for Palestine. Now, you can't tell us that that man did not know what was going on. And the fact is that two of the three organizations, Jabir was the president of. And Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib gets in bed with these people. I mean, the Islamic Association for Palestine and the American Muslim Society were under his control, Rafiq Jabir. I mean, he also distributed pro-Hamas documents, including an August 2001 editorial that advocated martyrdom operations and the killing of Jewish people. This is who Rashida Tlaib is. This is who she supports. And folks, go to Jihad Watch to read the rest of the story. But it's reprehensible what is going on in our United States government. But Rashida Tlaib is following the Muslim Brotherhood explanatory memorandum. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging the miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. That is the Muslim Brotherhood explanatory memorandum, and it's being followed and it's being exercised by the Muslim Brotherhood front groups, which the Islamic Association for Palestine was, which the American Muslim Society was, which the Holy Land Foundation was. And these people are in the United States government. They are within. You understand? They are within. It's disgrace, Al. It is absolutely a disgrace. It's mind-boggling that they continue to get away with this subversive activity, to have this sordid association with known individuals who sponsor terrorism, who find ways to fund terrorists, and these people are helping, you know, they're helping Rashida Tlaib with the campaign. Unbelievable what we're witnessing today in America. Unbelievable.
Yep, and actually disqualify her from being a representative of the people and by the people But she will probably get reelected, sadly enough. The Muslim Brothers have been around for a long time. We've been going after them for over a decade. Story after story after story, and nobody seems to care or listen.
I'm going to put a link to the Investigative Project on Terrorism in the chat room and copy that link and read it at your leisure, because it goes into who your Rafik Jabir is and his association to the fact that he was the head of the American Muslim Society and Islamic Association for Palestine. He was the president of it. He's also a co-founder of CARE, by the way. That should tell you enough.
And they're very active. It only takes a few minutes. Go ahead. You know, it's a good idea is just to take that link, throw it into Twitter, and then hit the at sign and put your representatives in there, and then 10 or 12 other people, and then, boom, you've just moved that thing out to 15 people.
That's a great idea.
All in about 30 minutes. It's the coolest thing. So it's too bad that Elon Musk isn't buying Twitter anymore. But you can still do it.
Yeah, we didn't get to that tonight, but man, we got three and a half minutes left. I know it's unbelievable. So tomorrow night, we got Eric from Kafiristan. I'm not sure he's going to be doing the show, but Paul might be setting in for him. Wednesday, we got Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. He's also the author of Cancer of Civilization Jihad, which you can buy at Amazon.com or go to Paul Sutliff's website and you can purchase it there. Great book. Friday, Andrew Harrod with a Conservative Casual Friday. He's on at 12 p.m. Eastern time, I believe. Minister Simon Dakdek and a beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Saturday evening. You can also hear Paul on that show as well. He helps out Minister Osama Dakdek, and they're doing some great work together. And thank you, Osama and Paul. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan's back with his interfaith dialogue. And I think Paul will be sitting in for Eric this weekend as well. And Monday on, I'll be back 6 to 8 p.m. next Monday evening. And check out some other shows on Block Talk Radio. I'm not sure if Chief is still doing a show, but he's supposed to be on at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Please keep G-Ski in your prayers. He's really recovered. He's doing well, and it's so good to hear. And man, your prayers are really heard. So thank you for keeping G-Ski in your prayers. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Fridays, 1 to 4 p.m. She's got a great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. She's got some great guests. Check out her show. Simone Nicole is going to have a show this Wednesday at Spreaker.com, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Joshua will be back and some great self-help tips there. And if you want a break from Islam and from politics and from the insanity that's going on and some great self-help, check out the Simone Nicole show. And Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern time, you got Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. Go to AudreyRusso.com. She has some great guests. Last week she had General Valley on, and he was pretty candid about it with his comments. It was really cool to hear. So check out bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Some great blogs in there and some great check out his trip to Vegas and California. It was really good. So he had some great pictures on the blogspot as well, but he's got some fantastic stories in there, some international stories as well. Thank you, Bigfoot. Thank you, Sue from New Mexico, and keep Sue in your prayers there. Ducky Northwest, nice to see you. Golf Dogs HRV Radio, the Baked Alaska Boyd, and I was in the house earlier, so thank you all. You guys be safe out there. Al, any party shots? All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And you all be safe out there, and we will we'll see you next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And you know what? Just be aware of your surroundings. And let's see what happens with with the report on economic report that comes out Thursday. If we're still in a period,
if not himself, then he has not ought to say. Record.
I must have hit the volume button, and I couldn't figure out how to go because I changed screen, and it's like I couldn't get it.
Good timing. Worked out. Boy, that went fast. There were a few stories that were left on the table.
I know.
Too much stuff.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought up the yelling, because that I was listening to that and I heard her say, well, when she was asked about the recession, well, we're in a period of transition. It's like, you know, I don't want to be cynical, but I am. But the fact is that what an answer. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who sanitized an answer. I mean, she flat out sanitized. She absolutely deflected the answer. And, you know, well, we're in a period of transition. That's a cop out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a flat out lie.
Yeah. A man in transition is still a man.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, even Martina Navratilova, okay, is admonishing the NCAA for not lauding biological women. There has to be biological women that can be put up, you know, or nominated for NCAA, you know, female athlete of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I just respect Martina. You know, coming out. We all know she's gay. Okay. But the fact is that she's absolutely right, because I believe in large that the gay community is absolutely outraged by this push of this, mm-hmm. of the trans movement.
Hell, they should, because I remember the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, 2010, women's sports, there is always a problem that women's sports never got any of the money that the male sports generated, whether it be football, baseball, whatever, and they were correct. They did not get they never got the money or the scholarships that the men did, because the men generated all the income. Well, all I know is that within the last 5 years, you go up and down the sports channels from 1600 up, whatever the sports channels are on your TV, your cable provider, and I'm telling you, half of them, women's lacrosse, women's mm-hmm. tennis, women's golf, I don't know, it's just women's basketball. It's amazing, and it's working. They won. They won, and they don't get any of the viewership, because it doesn't matter whether they get viewerships or not. It is politically correct to have all those women's sports on TV, and I guess generating income from the TV time, whether people watch it or not is another story, but they're still producing it. And they made it. They were there. They got to the finish line. And now you got all these men becoming women to dominate in women's sports now that it's reached a level of popularity that it hasn't in the last three decades.
I agree with you.
Did you get that, Hank? Hank Jones, Polysports? There you go.
You know, it's amazing. It's why Title IX was enacted, right, to give women equal. I mean, we're talking about 50 year anniversary of Title IX, and in 50 years, the NCAA found a way to circumvent Title IX, and I just, it's reprehensible that women have to be pushed off to the side when in fact there are some great women athletes and biological women athletes. It's incredible what we're seeing today. For less than 0.5% of the population, and they allow dudes to cross-dress and absolutely dominate women's sports. And women are losing scholarships as a result of men cross-dressing and competing in their sports because they can't compete against fellow men. That's unbelievable. Well, you know, I can't make it on the senior tour, so I think I'm going to go cross-dress and identify as a woman so I can go on the LPGA tour. That's what I'll do. Yeah. Yeah. Jeez.
With a mustache.
Well, that's just hormonal things. So, you know what? I'm Italian. That's what I have to say. Italian women have facial hair. I mean, most of my cousins have mustaches. So there.
Well, I wasn't really saying that, but yeah, it's kind of true. Just put it that way. I can't disagree with you there.
I can wear skorts. Is that what it is? Skorts? I can wear skorts.
What is a skorts?
Isn't it shorts and a skirt? Skirt and shorts?
I don't know.
Oh, God almighty. Oh. It is outrageous how women, you know, on one hand you're pushing, you know, you're trying to elevate the woman's the female sports, the female athlete, and mm-hmm. then it's crushed when a dude goes out and he dresses like a girl and says now he identifies as a girl. Oh my God.
And the NCAA that lobbied so hard for it is tearing down all the work that they did because yes. they don't want to appear politically incorrect.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The very institutions, 50 years later, 50 years it took the NCAA to crush the very thing. It's like, well, wait a minute now. Do we have equality in sports? I mean, isn't this exactly what you wanted? I don't know. Just
maybe their idea of equality is men and women competing together, but there's a difference between men and women and a lot of things. Biologically, physically. And
come on.
Chromosomes, you can't fight a chromosome. XX, XY told me so.
You know what? Just watch women's hockey. Ice hockey versus men's ice hockey. Mm-hmm. Just watch it. I mean, I'm not a great big hockey fan, okay? But mm-hmm. I like the Rangers. I do follow hockey. Put on a women's hockey ice hockey game after watching a men's hockey game, and just watch how much faster men are. Why? They got bigger legs. They're larger in frame. Men are fast. It's the men in slow motion. And I nothing against women, because I'll watch a women's hockey game, especially during the Olympics. These men are stronger. They're faster. There's no way a woman's going to compete in the NHL. That's why women aren't in the NHL.
I mean, they don't want to. I'm sure right. there are a few that want to. Playing the bigs, but they can't compete.
You know, and
same
aside
with tennis.
From... Okay.
I did just that this weekend. I was watching men's tennis and women's tennis, and I went back and forth.
Yeah.
And women's tennis, they grunt and they make a lot of noise, and it's a little bit slower. The men is just like power tennis. It's a whole nother level.
Okay. And look at the stamina. Just talk about stamina. Why are women's matches three sets and men's are five, best of five? Okay.
Good question.
There's a stamina issue. Even if the women went to and competed against the men and they went best of five, do you think a woman would last for five sets? Maybe, okay, what's her name? Serena Williams, maybe.
Yeah, she could break me in half, that woman. Whoa.
Well, and there's a reason why women aren't playing professional football. Aside from Stacey Abrams, what woman could compete, you know, in the NFL? I'm talking
yeah.
about in a line position, not a kicker, okay? Because I think there are plenty of women that could probably kick, especially a woman who's proficient in soccer. She can mm-hmm. be a kicker, a place kicker. But, you know, Stacey Abrams could be a frontline offensive guard because she's offensive as it is.
Well, she's thick like a fire hydrant. And, yeah, she could be a lineman.
There aren't many. There are not people that are – there are not many women that are built for that. There really aren't. There's a reason. There's a physical domination by men over women. And that's nothing – you know what? It's not being derogatory to women. There are just some sports where they can't compete.
And they have the right to try, but they don't
yes.
succeed.
Yes.
No one's saying they can't compete. Remember on the whole the whole craze was to have women in little league football teams, Pop Warner football, and to have women compete, girls compete. And I think they still do, and at that level it works.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But as you get older, those chromosomes come into play and they do things, and you can't fight a chromosome.
Okay, and what about professional golf? Here's a situation. You've had two you've had two women who've competed on a men's tour. One was Annika Sörenstam. She did it for one tournament, and she was very upfront about it, and she didn't make the cut. And you had Michelle Wee, who, to her credit, while she was growing up, she would play against the boys and the young men because there were no women's leagues or women's competition to speak of in Hawaii. So she had no choice, and she became a very good golfer. But the women can't – I'm sorry. The women don't hit it as far. They don't have the strength, and they can't – and Annika proved it that – it's even at a 7,000-yard course, it's long for women. And hell, you know what? The U.S. Open is open to anybody to compete. As long as your handicap is of such as a 2.2 or less of an index, you can compete and try to qualify for the U.S. Open. And Susie Whalen, who was the former president of the PGA, she tried. And you know what? I don't have a problem with that. You know, the courses are set up. They're difficult. They're in excess of 7,000 yards. You play the same tees that the men's play from to qualify. Ah, but at one point in one qualifying year, and I think there was some backlash over it, Susie Whalen was allowed to compete from the upper tees, not the ladies' tees, but from what we would call the men's white tees. If we were playing the blues or, you know, the very back, she would play the next tee up. That's not fair. That is not fair. If she wants to compete for the spot of the U.S. Open, she competes at the same level where everybody else is. If you're a 2.2 handicap or less, there's a reason for that. That means you can compete. Now, I'm not taking anything derogatory, but the fact is that women have the opportunity to compete in the U.S. Open qualifier. You compete from the same length. Men don't have the opportunity to compete in the U.S. women's qualifier, and that's fine. It should be for women. It's a U.S. women's open, okay? Women compete. Biological women compete. God, why? It's not difficult.
And the women can't, like you said, the women can compete with the men. They just got to play from the back tippy-tip tees and not the women's tees. Have at it, ladies.
Yeah, have at it. Have at it.
Janet Yellen, get up. Get to the men's tee. Show us what you can do.
She can't do much, man. She can't do much. Well, she's in a period of transition. I'm sorry, Al. You're right. She's in a period of transition.
Right. She doesn't know what tee to play from. No, she's got to hold water for her boss and make her boss look good, and she's not getting called on it. It's disgusting.
I know.
But
I know.
Imagine if there's an honest media.
The media has shown how much of a left-wing ideologues they are, and it's just it's disgusting what we're seeing today. And it really is. It's, you know, it's that type of anti-American policies, and it just, there's two sets of standards, you know, and you can't help but going back and forth and doing the comparison, because, you know, I got into discussion with a relative over the weekend, and it didn't get heated, but, you know, we had a discussion, and it's like, I'm sorry, there are two sets of standards in Washington, D.C., and we are watching that play out right before our eyes with Biden being installed as president. You know, just from the mental capacity side, how many times did the left wing, including the DNC state-sponsored media, quickly jump on on Trump for his mental capacity. If he said something wrong, if he used the wrong verb, or when he was walking down the that ramp, and the general grabbed him, held on to him so that he wouldn't fall. Now, a slippery ramp in dress shoes, okay, and the president was walking gingerly until he got to the bottom, and then he was fine. Right away, the left-wing news media went to town, whether it was DNC MSNBC or DNC CNN. Oh, is he fit? Is he unfit? And there's no talk about the fitness of Biden. And it's one faux pas after another. He trips going up the steps of Air Force One, and it's total silence. He falls off of his bike, and there's total silence. He can't give one sentence clearly. He can't even articulate a sentence in a reasonable fashion without bubbling, stumbling, and hesitating. And there's no talk about this guy's mental capacity. You know, he talks about, you know, having the being running for the United States Senate, and nobody says anything. No one calls him into question. Why? Because he's a Democrat. He's running as a Democrat. He's operating as a Democrat. And apparently with the media in this country, the DNC state-sponsored media, if you put an R after your name, you run as a Republican, immediately you're the enemy. And you're fair game to malign, to assault, to assail, to misrepresent. And then you sanitize. I mean, can you imagine if there were emails from Eric Trump talking about Donald Trump being the big guy and getting 10% of the take with a foreign country, with a foreign adversary, Ukraine or China? Just change the names in that. The media would go apoplectic. They would ask for his head on a platter. There would be investigations. Oh, and do you notice, Al? There have been no leaks in the White House suddenly. There's been no anonymous sources reporting about, you know, bumbling Joe tripping up the stairs going to his bedroom or falling out of his bed or you know, falling in the shower. Nothing. There are no anonymous sources anymore. And they suddenly just went away. And it just goes to show the levels in which the establishment was to attack, assail, and to destroy Trump's presidency. And all he did was be pro-American. And I keep saying that, but, you know, we're watching a daily basis on how Biden is conducting himself, and it's awful. It is abhorrent to watch this man stand at a podium, read a teleprompter, and can't even get through the teleprompter in a reasonable fashion. And then, God forbid, he goes off script. And, you know, his handlers go nuts because he just says something stupid. He just lies. And there's no consequences for that. That's what the American people are pissed off about. And the media continues to sanitize this guy.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear there's an active shooter at Dallas Airport?
Yeah, I heard about that. This 38-year-old woman,
some broad. Yeah, yeah.
She fired into the ceiling,
and then they took her down, and then took her away. Nobody got hurt.
Jeez, unbelievable. What we're seeing today. God Almighty. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, it just. I mean, is this what they want? Is this what the left wants?
Chaos?
They want chaos? Yeah. George Soros wants that with the Open Foundation. He certainly does.
Mm-hmm.
God, the level of disrespect for law enforcement is at an all-time high. Watching a video on Twitter, you know, the police being manhandled, abused, and, you know, women hitting police officers, and just the level of disrespect is just astonishing. This is what George Soros' Open Society Foundation caused. It's caused this chaos, and Biden has caused this chaos at every turn. Every time you turn around, there's another problem. There's another issue escalating, and this is exactly what
you know, I'm beginning to wonder that the stories are true. Is this what the world body wanted? They want this chaos and this civil unrest. I mean, yeah. Jerry Nadler told us about what was happening in the western part of the United States in Seattle and Portland was just a myth. But yet we saw 95 straight days of insurrection in the city of Portland and Seattle, outside of Seattle, and it was just a myth, we're told. A myth? Just wow. Man.
Mm.
Oh my God. I just wow.
Yeah. Drink heavily, play lots of golf.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation.
There you go.
Dr. Bombay wrote me a prescription for that just the other day.
I'm going to try to play some golf tomorrow, I hope. So let's see.
Good. We'll hit them straight.
Yeah, I just go to the range. I'm working on some stuff. It's like changing my swing.
Are you now?
I are.
Interesting. I thought you had it working so well last month.
I thought I did too, and I played in a tournament, and I played horribly, and I just I took a couple of days off, and then I went to the range and started videotaping, and I found so many mistakes. I don't know how I get into the bad habits, so I'm just absolutely revamping it. I really am. I'm just I'm working at it. I was very, very disgusted with the way I felt like Scott Piercy's back nine yesterday. I can totally associate what he said. Yeah, it was awful. It was absolutely awful.
Sorry to hear that.
I mean, I shot 75, 76, I think it was, but it was like, I was done. It was like, wow, this is awful. I mean, it was awful. And I couldn't figure out. And then I went, you know, a couple of days later and I started videotaping my swing and it's like, holy crap. Oh my God! Where the hell did this come from?
Did you make the cut or no?
No. Then I shouldn't have.
What was the cut line at?
It was 70. It was 70. 75 because I shot 77. Excuse me. It was 77.
That's pretty close. Must have been a tough course to have a cut that level, that high.
Yeah, the winds kind of picked up. You know, it was It was a good course. I played it before, but when I was done, it was like, man, this sucked. It really did. It absolutely sucked. I was just so disappointed. And then I just, you know, I said, you know, what I could do is I could suck my thumb or just go ahead and try to figure out what it was. So I went to the range and it was like, oh my God, it was horrible. I was like, whoa. And slowly but surely now I've gotten it back, but I've made a couple of changes and sought professional help, and I could see what my issues were. So
mm-hmm.
just
people don't realize how hard this game is if you really want to be good.
I know. Oh, I sat there and go, God almighty, how in the hell am I a scratch golfer with this fucking swing? It's like, oh my God. Oh, but we'll see. Hopefully there's changes.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
You'll figure it out. Try to get that extra little bit, and then the cycle will cave in on you, and then you have to do it again. That's my world, at least.
Yeah, and it was you know what? And you lose your patience, and that's one thing that you know, watching these guys on the weekends, they have patience.
Yeah.
And that's what's really cool. I mean, there's something to be said for the way that they conduct themselves. And I get it.
Yeah. Well, you know what I kind of learned watching the last two tournaments in particular, and maybe it's obviously me and what I'm looking at, is that a lot of these guys are hitting it 270 to 290. And they're capable of 3+, but
mm-hmm.
they're still hitting it shorter for control. And you can see it in their swing, and it's maybe I'm just imagining it, but I'm seeing them slowing everything down
for accuracy, and then when they really got to step on it, they can step on it. Or if they need a 3-wood in the 220 range or 230 range, then they'll step on it and do it. But maybe I'm just seeing – maybe I'm seeing what I want to see.
No, you're absolutely right. You are correct. It's funny. You are right. They're more controlled. You know, the Rory McIlroys are the exception to that, but these guys are going out and they're going for position, and they are controlled with trying to – they don't need to be 280, 320, 310, and they're able to – they know their iron play is so good, you know, from 170, 180 yards in.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I think you're right. Absolutely right.
Well – we'll see how it goes. Good luck. Good luck tomorrow. Hit them good.
Thanks.
Have a good practice session. Well, yeah, I won't be playing until Friday. But
ooh,
we'll see. Had a death in the family, so I gotta.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so I gotta head out of town for a couple of days, but I'll be playing hopefully Friday. So we'll see what happens.
Right. All right. Well, you guys be safe wherever you're in your travels, and man, keep you guys in our thoughts and prayers. You take care of yourself.
Hey, you too. Hit them straight.
Thank you. Thanks.
And not too often.
Yeah. Bye, Sue. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
That's all, folks.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.